Now, so I'm coming to see everything and change. That Warped Tour made you open your brain. Eric Vanek is here, so remember the name. Hey. He got the waiver wire for the week. Tell you who to start and who to give a seat. Dropping the podcast every week. You know the knowledge is elite. After the show, we gon' hold a Lombardi. Celebrating like we throwing a party. This the blueprint and I know they gon' copy. My intros always go the hottest, cause this is America's game.
Hey everybody, welcome back to America's Game, episode number 52. We've made it one full year, 52 straight weeks.
One full year, man. Let's go.
Hell yeah. And as you can hear, that's my co-host for today, Adam. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Eric? Appreciate you having me on for the 1 year anniversary, man. And today's going to be a fun one. We got some drafting going on.
Yeah, we're going to continue on with our Best Ball Mania 5 live drafts that we're going to do. But, first off, man, congratulations to you. New dad again. Congrats to you and the wife on that. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Just under a week ago, so it was last Thursday. So ready to get That's back awesome. And doing some content, though, you know?
Hell yeah. So congratulations to you guys on that. That's awesome. And then NFL training camps basically started up this week. We have people already practicing, already got some good injuries. People already missing time.
We got news cycles that are actually meaningful again, to somewhat of a degree, yeah. At least. There's at least something happening.
Yeah, I was listening, before we hopped on here, I was looking at Twitter and saw Sean Clifford's already throwing 4 or 5 interceptions today only. So, Jordan Love, you'll be getting that $55 million per year here pretty soon.
Yeah, last time I think someone did that much in a day, well, it was in a half. It was Nathan Peterman, you know?
All right. I'm like, Jesus. I mean, I hated Sean Clifford. He was terrible. But 5 interceptions already. I bet you Jordan Love's back there tomorrow with his new contract tonight.
Yeah, he's cementing his status for me, Clifford. Yeah.
Your boy Cam Akers rose from the dead. He's sort of back.
Yeah, I mean, he's at least on an NFL roster. We'll see how long... We'll see if he actually, you know, hangs on to that roster spot as they start making cuts. But, yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, that like that backfield, obviously they needed something. People were kind of forget Joe Mixon was going to be cut until they made that trade, and then they extended him. So, it's a high powered offense to be in, but I don't have a lot of expectations after he's coming off of a second Achilles tear to the. His good Achilles, you know?
Yeah, so, I mean, one Achilles tear, I'm usually out. Second, you're never going to be on a roster of mine ever again. So,
yeah,
that one I'll be out. That's like, people have hyped up J.K. Dobbins. Oh, he's back. He's healthy. He's not starting the year on the pup. Dude, major knee injury, came off a multiple ligament tear. Struggled to come back. I mean, yeah, he had a couple of okay games. And then now you add the Achilles tear on top of it. And honestly, like, other than Deontay Foreman, and that took him 3 or 4 years, no one's really come back from it and had, like, sustainable success. So,
yeah,
I'm out on J.K. Dobbins, too. I ain't touching him.
Yeah, I mean, we saw – what was crazy was we saw Akers in a brief moment down the stretch of 2022 season. He did really well. And then Kyren came out. People thought the Rams' backfield was going to be Akers going into the year, and –
yeah.
He may have started, but he played. Kyren had most of the work. Yeah, week they, one, and they then it was over. So, like,
yeah,
he's had moments, but it's never been, he's never been like the guy. And then he tears his other Achilles now. So, yeah. it's him and J.K. Dobbins are really more exciting names from the past that people have a hard time getting over. If we're being honest.
Yeah, and it's not like I'm like saying, oh yeah, I'm glad they got hurt. No, it sucks.
Of course.
But I just, in a fantasy lens and looking at it from the brutal lens of that, like I just don't want those guys on my team ever again. So I don't think they're
anything. Yeah, they're not someone that, well, I put it like this. They're definitely not people that you should be expecting much from in fantasy football ever again. Honestly, just if they are able to get and sustain like a NFL job, I think that's great for them given their level of injuries at this point.
Yeah. And then the other big one that came up yesterday was Denerick Prince running as the RB2 behind Pacheco ahead of Clyde Edwards-Hilaire. Obviously, it was we're recording this on Wednesday, so that happened on Tuesday. So a lot of waiver claims went in this morning. A lot of people picking up Denerick Prince. Did you end up picking any of him up?
You know what's interesting, Eric, is I had him stashed on. So I only had him on a couple like taxi squads, and I just hadn't cut bait yet. And so I'm like, all right, cool. I kind of still have those. I didn't add any additional shares. I'm curious for you. He was on a fair amount of teams. Maybe it's because I play in best ball rosters that are a lot longer, where there's like 35 up to 40 spots. So he was on more teams than I was expecting him to be on as waivers went through.
Yeah, I think for me, he was actually on the waiver wires quite a bit for me.
Was he?
In my leagues, yeah. Okay. So I guess it's like 50-50 probably. Yeah, I got some. Some people spent, you know, a little too much. Like, there's a $1,000 budget league, and somebody spent $50. I think that's a little excessive, but
for sure,
they got him. So they got a couple of shares of him. I got him for like, you know, $6, $4, $3, whatever it was. I got him in a couple leagues.
I got outbid a couple times. I saw somebody in one of my lineup leagues bid 65 was the highest I saw. I'm like, okay, well. I mean, the other thing, too, is, like, I like it for him. He was a guy last year that I definitely had some shares of and then kind of cut bait on. But it's exciting to guess hear him have some piece of good news. But this is a guy that didn't do anything for a full year. Literally didn't do anything.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are, like, making fun of the pickups and stuff. But, you know, I've learned playing Dynasty since, whatever, 2017, 2016, whenever I started. Like, you got to be ahead on these things. Like, if you're not, you're fucked. Like, if you weren't ahead on picking up Philip Lindsay or Jaylen Warren, those are the two best examples I have. You didn't get those guys. You haven't reaped the rewards on Philip Lindsay or Jaylen Warren ever. So you got to kind of be ahead on these guys. You just never know. Yes, there's going to be some busts. Like, you know, a couple years ago during preseason, like, Tony Jones was real big. And, Julius Chestnut, and there was another guy for the Ravens. I forget who it was, but anyways, those guys were really
talking about too.
Yeah, he went to the Ravens, and then the Broncos picked him up. I forget the hell his name was.
He had a couple weeks too. Dang.
Yeah, but so there it wasn't Tyson Williams. It was somebody else. Was it a McCrary? I don't know. Somebody like that. But anyways, if you're not, you know, picking these guys up right away, then you're kind of missing out, because you're not going to get them the next week. Somebody already picked them up.
Yeah, but I'd imagine Denerick Prince ownership went from drastically up.
almost
universally owned now in most years.
Yeah, he probably went up like about 40%. Yeah.
I'm actually going to see right now. I'm on the lab as you speak. So I do have two shares, and I'm trying to see how many he's available in. So he still actually is available in, of my 19 leagues, currently in 5. Now, one thing I'm seeing, I'm not sure that the waiver run happened in all these leagues. I think a couple of them are a little bit off. But point is, I'd imagine he's now owned in at least 14 of the 19 leagues after that week. So if you didn't get him, to your point, you very good chance you're not going to.
Yeah, and if he does end up being the number two on the Chiefs this year, that's a really valuable position, especially if Pacheco gets hurt.
Dude, that's what I was just going to say, is if you're the number two, unless you're a corpse, like, unless you're a guy that I've seen be given some decent volume and essentially really over 2, 3, 4 years not do anything with it, you got to be interested just from that. From that alone, is that there's an injury, they're an injury away from, I mean, honestly, it's funny. I literally, Eric, today I just, I'm doing some fantasy write-ups for a draft guide for BDGE, and I'm doing write-ups on Zamir White is a perfect guy to talk about here, where now he has some draft capital, but for almost two entire years, he literally couldn't get on the field at all. Mm-hmm. Like, at all. Playing less than 20% of snaps for almost two whole seasons. And then all of a sudden, boom, Josh Jacobs' injury happens. He's playing 70% of snaps. He averaged 21 carries over the final 4 weeks of the season. And for a lot of teams in fantasy, that was during the fantasy football playoffs, and he was a huge found money during that time. So to the point of that, even if he doesn't get significant run and like kind of make Pacheco, like even if he's not giving a Pacheco more than a 75-25 split or something, he's super valuable just from the standpoint of he could be one injury away from being the primary rusher in a Chiefs-led offense, which is crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also like guys too, like Chris Evans and Travion Williams for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. I'll bring those two up. Like they've been in the league, what, 4 or 5 years, 6 years now for Travion, I think. And they haven't done a fuck all. Ever.
Right, right.
So, like, I'm never picking these guys up. So, like, I know I'll give these, like, guys that are second year, first year, you know, third year sometimes, like Prince's is a second year. I'll give these guys a shot. We'll see what they have. I think one thing that a lot of Dynasty players forget is, hey, people improve. They get better. Like, they're getting coaching, NFL-style coaching. They're practicing. They're getting the right treatments, and they're getting the right, you know, food in their body if they're paying attention to the weight staff and the, you know, medical staff and all that. Like, they're getting better at this stuff. So
sure. And I think too, at least for me, to that point, like kind of piggybacking on that point, adding to everything you're saying there, I think knowing like the profile a little bit for me anyway matters, where, okay, if I've seen you basically actually get some work in spot starts and not do much with it, or it's been a long time and you're not getting on the field, those type of players, I'll use Denarik Prince here, even though he's only been in the year for been in the league for a year. What are the traits? If Denarik Prince was to become a guy that got the starting job for even a few weeks, this is a guy that's like a home run speed, 4.41, right? He's 6'2", 216. Actually, it's interesting. I was just talking about Zamir White. Player profile, I pulled it up, has his best comparable to Zamir White. So a guy that if given those touches, he has a lot of the traits that you'd like to see in a
Absolutely. In a
running back. It's not like this guy is a, you know, a really terrible athlete or someone that if he got a bunch of work,
170, right.
Exactly. So he profiles as a guy that if he got the work could be very meaningful for fantasy, I think is another big point with him.
Yeah. So hopefully you guys were able to get him on some of your teams this morning. You just never know what's going to happen. Like even if you never use him and you can trade him and get a third round pick, like even that's valuable. So you don't Absolutely. Have to keep him on every team. You don't have to hold him this whole time. Maybe you can put him on your trade block. Somebody will give you something for him. You can make some money that way, or you play the long game, hold out, see if he is the number two throughout the whole training camp and into the season. And maybe Pacheco does get hurt and, you know, then you can cash in for even more at that time. So if you have enough shares, you can kind of play both sides there. So,
yeah, and I mean, he's an undrafted guy, but remember Pacheco was very close to that. He was, I think, the very last pick in the draft. He was late seventh, so that draft capital doesn't mean a whole lot to me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, me and you are going to do a live Underdog Best Ball Mania draft today.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so I am ready on my screen. We're going to do 30 seconds per pick.
When you're ready, let me know. I'll hit the enter button.
All right, I'll say 3, 2, 1, and then on 1, we'll hit enter.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
I'm in.
Of course, it couldn't detect my location, even though it fucking...
Are you not in? I'm not in either, actually. Good. Hold on.
Okay. All right, good.
Hold on. Let me see here.
I see. Sometimes I have to refresh. Stupid Underdog sometimes.
Hold on.
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead. Gotta love live podcasting, huh?
Yeah, you could even hit pause if you want to, but I'm trying to find the it's making me want to set my rankings.
Oh yeah, it makes me do that too. Go ahead and just like throw in like 15 people and then it'll
once
we get that started here, we'll get started on this Best Ball Mania draft. How many Best Ball Mania drafts have you done so far this year?
So I've been doing a lot more of these drafts lately. I've done a total of 10 Underdog drafts, 3 Best Ball Manias. So how about you?
Okay. I think I'm at 8, so this will be my 9th for Best Ball Mania. Okay. Overall drafts, I'm probably close to 60.
All right, so let's get back into this. Let's do it together.
All right.
When you're ready, you'll do the 3, 2, 1 again.
Yep. 3, 2, 1. And enter, confirm, I am in.
We're in. Let's do it. All
right, sweet. So, yeah, we're waiting for 3 people here. Once we get that in, We should be able to go here, but
cool.
Where have you been, like, kind of picking at lately? Have you been stuck in the back, the middle?
Yeah, it feels like I've gotten the caboose a lot. I'm kind of curious if you have a strategy from that spot, because it feels like if you're at the end there, at least for me, you really run where you're kind of drafting outside of the tier of receivers you like.
Yeah.
But then it's like a couple times I've done the dual running back approach where I'm like, all right, like, kind of fuck it. I'm back here. Let me get basically, you know, Brees and Gibbs or whoever it is, right? Brees and Taylor. And it's like, man, then I don't necessarily always love my wide receiver room at the end of the draft. But I'm curious what you do typically when you're in the back.
It just kind of depends. I'll mix it up. So I've done your double RB approach. I've done running back receiver. I've done two receivers. So I've kind of done both. Just kind of wherever it happens here. So you're going to be picking second, and I'm going to be picking eighth.
Well,
so that's a good. So 102 basically,
for me is pretty easy. Now, you know, obviously with the snake draft, it's not always as great. But
so I'm guessing you're taking Lamb.
I mean, as long as he's there,
I know you're
him or McCaffrey, you know.
Yeah, yeah. See, I usually take Tyreek at two. I think he's going to be the wide receiver one this year, personally. So, I just don't. I like CD. Like, he's definitely still a top 3-4 wide receiver for me. Yeah. I just don't see him repeating as number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why I kind of mix it up. Like, yeah, everyone's taking him as number one wide receiver and all that. Totally get it. I find a hard time believing that he's going to be the number one. Now he's with the holdout, Dak situation. Like, man, Dallas is just kind of setting up to be a fucking shit show this year. So
interesting. I mean, I don't know. The one thing about him, I definitely get all those concerns, the holdout. But I just look at the way this team is built, and I'm thinking,
right. Oh, well, CD Lamb.
CD Lamb, see, all right. So now, I mean, you know, I don't really think I've gotten much CMC. And
oh, yeah, it's an easy note.
I feel like it's overthinking it and giving CMC the 103 would be crazy. So just doing it. With CD, though, I was just going to say that the way the offense, I mean, it's the old corpse of Zeke and Rico Dowdle at running back. And we saw, like, them try to kind of force feed Tony Pollard. I don't think he was right early in the year. But we saw that it just did not work for their offense. And their offense really, the only success they had was later in the year when they just kind of force-fed CeeDee Lamb and ran the offense through him. So that's, from that standpoint, it just, I get it, repeating as number one receiver. But what's really crazy is to think that he was number one receiver, Eric, when the first 6 weeks was very meh for him. After the bye, he was like a different breed. I would say if he doesn't finish as the receiver one, barring injury, okay, if he doesn't finish as the receiver one, I'd be shocked if he's not a top three, top five receiver. But to your point of being the number one overall, I mean, dude, there's some other guys that definitely pose a threat. First of all, Tyreek Hill, outside of his injury, probably was the receiver one last year, even with CD having that great finish.
Yeah. All right, so it's up to me now. Everyone that you expect is gone, even Bijan. So I'm left with, like, Breece Hall, A.J. Brown, Puka Nacua. On this one, I'm just going to go ahead and select Breece Hall.
I like it. I've gotten him closer to the end of drafts, but I think for the running back position, you could make the case that he's got the best chance to finish as the one overall for sure this year.
Yeah, I figured I'll take a shot on him here. I get a really solid running back to start off my team there, so I'm good with that.
Absolutely.
After Breece went, A.J. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Puka Nacua, and we are now at the turn here.
Let's say you were at this 112 like I was talking about. Wow, he took Drake London 112. Wouldn't have been what I picked, but I was looking there. Like, in this situation, this is where I either go like a Gibbs and Taylor, or I take maybe a Gibbs and a Marvin Harrison Jr. typically when I was faced with those decisions.
Right. I think the one thing about being at the back here is it's literally the same people every single time. So it is, you got to divert from that and pick different players sometimes.
So you don't have the exact same draft every single time.
And same people, you know, how many people are going to have Drake London and Marvin Harrison Jr. or Gibbs in one of those receivers, you know? So
Gibbs making Nico it all the way to the 204 there. Wow.
Yeah, and Gibbs went, Nico Collins went, so I could double up at running back or get a wide receiver here.
Who are the picks for you that you're thinking of right now?
They're one of the running backs or a receiver here. Olave has the same bye. I think I'm going to go with Debo. I don't have a lot of Debo, so I just want to diversify a little bit.
Okay.
So I'm going to grab Debo. I usually don't like taking Debo at all, but with the whole Ayuk situation right now, you don't know what's going to happen there. Debo's going to have a whole training camp with Purdy. I'm going to go ahead and take him.
You know, could you imagine if Ayuk got moved? Like, Debo's usage could get crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And Pearsall's on the pup right now, too. So, like, Debo's getting all the work right now. He's going to have all the connection there with Purdy. So, I'll take a shot. A
couple extra carries, too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I was surprised. I looked at his stats, and I saw he only had 800 yards and something touchdowns, and I know he missed, like, a month, too. And I'm like, okay, that wasn't that great. And then I saw, he also had 200 rushing yards and a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he had 200 rushing yards.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Garendo for me, though, is that I don't view really any standalone value for him. I think he's an awesome, massive lottery ticket, but he's going to need CMC injury because a lot of those extra carries are actually going to Debo right now.
Right, right. All right, you're up next here. After I took Debo, Taylor, Olave, Devontae, and Barkley went. So what two are you looking at here?
Yeah, so I'm actually looking Ayuk, Evans, and A-Chain are definitely, like, top of my queue here.
Yep.
Because I'm coming back so soon.
So Henry went there. And
wow.
Adam is up. Yep. So all you right. already have the one running back in CMC. You probably don't want to double up on 49ers.
I think I'm going to take A-Chain here and then grab whatever receivers left following me there. I wouldn't even hate if it was Smitty that was my receiver one.
Right. There goes Ayuk. Ayuk went.
And let's see. I would like to get Evans if I had it my way, I'll tell you the truth. But Skillet's probably going to snipe me here.
So I don't know if you listened to my episode last week with Scott, if you've thought about correlating at all, but the Lions play the 49ers in week 17.
Yeah.
So if you got maybe Laporta here and reach for Laporta, that could correlate.
Would you take him? Would you take that over Evans?
Probably
here?
Not. No, I probably would go Evans, but just
I did listen to that, by the way. I was out. I will say, like, if it wasn't Evans, like, let's say if Evans and Smitty were both gone there, obviously someone else would be available. But let's just say in theory now, I'm like looking at Neighbors and Cup and these guys. I think I might have taken the swing on Laporta, but I couldn't. I don't know. I'm so bullish on Mike Evans again this year, man. I know there's a change of offensive. You know, there's offensive change with new OC, but dude, he's just been so damn consistent. And I get it in Dynasty, people are kind of tired and he's old, but in redraft, just what is there not to like? He's guaranteed to get 1,000 yards. It basically comes down to touchdowns if he's going to finish inside the top 10 or not.
Right. And I also have Debo, so I have a 49er. So Laporta's a guy I can definitely look at here at the 308.
I like that.
So Stephon Diggs goes, Devontae Smith, Neighbors, and
how many picks till you're up here? Oh, you're only a couple picks away.
Yeah, I'm up here and two more picks, and then I am up. So I have a pretty good shot at getting Laporta here if I want him.
You're taking him if he's there, right? That's your pick?
I think so, just to correlate. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got, let's see. If Laporta goes here, let's just say, which he did not. So Cooper Kupp went.
Yep. I probably would have looked at Kyren.
I was just going to ask if you – what's your take on Kyren this year?
I like him as a player still. I just think it's probably going to be, you know, more 60-40. I think Blake Corum is definitely going to get some run there. But I really like this Rams team this year. I think they're set up really well. Even losing Aaron Donald. After I took Laporta, Kyren went, Tank Dell, DJ Moore, and then we're at the turn.
You know what's really interesting to me about the Rams and McVay? I don't know if you've thought about this, but since 2021, every year going in, there has not basically been a start to finish running back that McVay uses, like people think that he's going to use this bell cow type guy. 2021, they, you know, it was Darrell Henderson, and then they had Akers, and they didn't give the work to Akers, and he got hurt. And then it's, again, last year, Akers was supposed to be the starter. He gets, Kyren gets the workload, and then if Kyren ended up finishing the year. But it's just each year what we think going into this backfield ends up not being what it becomes every year for the last several. I'm not saying that Kyren isn't still a good pick or that he's not a good player. I don't know, man. I guess what I'm trying to say more than anything is the certainty of what McVay is going to do is not really certain at all.
Right. So I was up there after Flowers, Higgins, Josh Allen, Pacheco, Jalen Hurts, and I took Amari Cooper as my next receiver.
I like that pick. I'm big on Amari this year, too.
Same. I mean, I guess I could see it with Kyren. But I still really like the player, but I don't think he's going to have as massive workload as he did last year when he was getting like 90% of the touches.
So for the season, he had an 82% snap count.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see that happening.
You draft a guy. Now I get it. You draft a guy in day two, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think on the low end, I think if I'm being conservative, that's a guy that's going to play 35% of snaps. Conservatively, wouldn't you agree with that part?
Probably, yeah.
If Kyren's down to a 65% snap share, is he going to be that efficient? 65%, for the record, just puts him much more in line with a lot of other starters.
Right.
And that now makes him have to be somebody that, obviously, with the touches are going to be minimized if he's playing that type of snap load. So I've just that's my kind of hesitation and concern with it here. I'm on the clock now.
Yeah, so ETN, Kelce, Kirk, McLaurin went, and now you're up. You have a lot of different options. All the tight ends are pretty much there besides Kelce, Laporta. Lamar and Mahomes are sitting there. Josh Jacobs is probably the top running back. Wide receivers are all over the place.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and grab, if I can.
You got 2 seconds.
I tried to grab McBride. All right, I got him. I got McBride. I went ahead and take McBride last second. I'm a little worried about Marvin coming over, but I do think that it also might help open up some of Trey McBride's ability. And I actually don't have any Trey McBride yet in any of these drafts, so I wanted to make sure I got a little bit of him. That was part of the reason. At this spot, too, I've tended to, in that scenario, grab one of these QBs, so I have a decent amount of Lamar and Mahomes. So I wanted to see if I could diversify it a little bit here.
Yeah, and that opens you up to Kyler, too. And you can probably get Kyler around 7-8 is usually where he goes.
And realistically, in my best ball teams, Kyler versus Mahomes. Would I rather have Mahomes? Sure. But I think realistically, the trade-off is better with Kyler.
Right.
Wow, Jaden Reed at the 501. Did not expect him going quite that high.
That's too high for me.
Would you take a guy like Jacobs here, or are you leaning into one of these receivers now?
Well, I think if you take Jacobs here, you only have to probably take one more running back the entire draft and just because you already have two. So
I'll tell you one thing, man. I don't have any Jacobs or Trey McBride, so I kind of don't like those picks. But in this tournament style, I feel like you got to at least get more shots at some of these players in case you're wrong.
Absolutely, yeah. So, no, you have McCaffrey, A-Chain, Jacobs, and they're all three different buys, which is huge. Yep. I'm probably taking one more pretty solid running back, and I'll let the chips fall where they may because you're going to have to make up for it at wide receiver and other spots. So
exactly. The one thing about I don't know how you view this, but I do have Evans and McBride on a buy. It wasn't, like, a huge deal for me. But
yeah, that's not a bad – that doesn't affect me too much. No.
Yep.
Let's
you're coming
see,
up after, next pick. So we got Cook, I Rice. Went there, then it was Cook, then it was Rashee Rice, then it was Mahomes, and then Mixon went off the board here.
Yeah.
One pick until Eric's up.
Yeah, so I mean Lamar's still there. I already have a tight end, so I don't need Andrews. None of the running backs are really standing out to me here. Like my top one's probably Rashad White, but I think definitely. I would rather have one of these receivers. I've been taking a shit ton of Hollywood Brown. I'm just going to take another share here. Go with Hollywood Brown.
Honestly, I'm really starting to wonder like when we're going to hear on Rashee Rice, but if there's a suspension coming for him, what's up?
I'm sorry. You were mentioning Rice. I'll start with him. Rice, I just don't think he's going to get suspended this year because
that's where I'm at too. That's where I'm at.
His thing isn't until December.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the NFL waits to hear on what the legal system has to say first. So I'm kind of thinking he's going to be fine this year and get suspended next year.
I've seen a lot that could be the case, and that I'll be honest, I took him in the Scott Fishbowl. I mean, charity event, but let me get the guy that's got that going on because he was going so late. I will say though, with a guy like Hollywood, that offense, he may not even be that consistent, but in that offense, I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a couple like monster weeks.
Right.
And in best ball, that's what you're looking for.
And then Worthy, we all saw the highlight play of him and Mahomes at training camp a couple days ago. But then today he's missing with a hamstring again. So did he hurt it again?
I hate seeing soft tissue injuries in the preseason.
This early already.
Hate it.
All right,
I'm not saying I won't draft a player, but it makes me really skeptical.
Right, I get it. So I'm up here. I'm looking at a couple different a lot of the quarterbacks are still there. I really like Ken Walker. I think he's going to have another good season, so I'm going to go ahead and take him as my RB2.
That makes sense. I think with Ken Walker, too, in this format here, like, dude, he's a guy that over the last 2 years, he's dealt with, like, some nagging injuries he's played through. But even still, I still think he's one of the best pure rushers in the NFL. And then if this offense is better with Ryan Grubb, I think it makes a lot of sense down this far in the sixth round.
Mm-hmm. And then after that was Richardson and Evan Engram so far.
If A. Rich made it to me, I would have even thought about taking him instead of Kyler just because the upside's so crazy. But I'm just really hoping that Kyler can make it to me here at 6'11", and we'll be good to go.
Yeah, my quarterback situation, I'm kind of looking at Purdy and Goff. Like, I might have to take those guys back-to-back later on.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm looking at. And I can probably wait a few rounds on those guys. I'd love to have a Richardson or whatever, but just is what it is.
If I don't get Kyler, like if Kyler goes in this pick right before me, I'll probably end up waiting on QB a little more here.
Right.
But he did not. So I'm going to go ahead now and just lock that in, and then I'll be probably grabbing a receiver on the way back. Got two picks here for Skillet KB. Let me ask you this question. You're looking at my team. I have those running backs. Would you add a guy like Kamara right here if he was there and be
or completely or, done? Yeah, I mean,
or would you go ahead and get like make sure you get one of these receivers now?
I think a lot of these the receivers are kind of drying up, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You're getting to that range where these are like the last of this five or six left, and then they're dead.
Yeah.
So I would probably grab one of them, yeah.
Yeah, would you grab Nuke here? I'm between like Nuke, maybe the JSN Uprise, or Addison here.
Ooh, I would probably go, yeah, one of those top three, Hopkins, Ladd, or JSN. Kind of match up my buys with it.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab Nuke here. I'm gonna go with the old boys, the old receivers, man. If you had Mike Evans and DeAndre Hopkins, back in the day, you felt amazing. So I still feel pretty good right now.
All right. It's a good pick. I can't complain. I think you could probably get like, you know, a Zach Moss, a Jaylen Warren, Tony Pollard as your last running back on the way back or when it comes back to you here and be just fine.
Yeah, I think, if somebody like a Swift made it or even a Mostert too to those guys, I agree with you. A Moss, Pollard. I'd be fine with that there.
Right.
What's your take on Benson in these drafts? Have you gotten any Trey Benson?
Yeah, I've taken some of him as like my fifth running back with the high upside.
Yeah.
I've done that with like him and Corum. Sometimes I have him and Corum on the same team. So I've done that.
Yep. What about for you coming up here in a couple picks? So for the record, after my Nuke pick, it was Aaron Jones, Ladd McConkey, and Kamara came off the board.
Yeah, so I'm probably looking at one of these receivers before they evaporate because there's so many running backs that are still there that I can grab one with my second pick.
Yep, for sure.
On the way back. So, yeah, I'm definitely going receiver in here. So JSN and Stroud went right before me.
I'm still surprised. I know there's quarterback chance. I'm still surprised a guy like Addison sitting there, to be honest with you, though.
Yeah, I usually take him if he's there. So I'm fine with that. I'll go ahead and I'll take Jordan Addison. I'm good with that.
Yeah. Middle, actually, 708. So later part of the seventh round, I feel like that's pretty decent value, man.
Yeah, I think people are scared out because of his DWI charge.
That too.
Then he might get suspended for the first two games or whatever. Whatever, I'll make up for it later.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can understand that part, but it's like, at a certain point, like, there's still an upside, even if he misses 2-3 weeks.
Right.
Kind of curious
trying
to see what
trying to do my my correlation a little bit, and
okay,
I probably should have went J-Mo, now that I think about it, with the correlation.
Really? Oh,
I
true,
it.
True.
But, oh, well, I missed out on it.
I guess, I don't know, I really struggle to see J-Mo.
I mean, all the hype right now is on J-Mo. Like,
I know.
I was just reading about it a little bit ago, that he looks like a different player in training camp. He looks stronger through the middle, more explosive, with better body control in the air and near the sidelines. Looks like a different player from a year ago. Dan Campbell has said he's a man on a mission. Like, everything's just sounding good for him so far, which I like.
You know, one there was a player, now this is going back a couple years now, but there was a player that had a lot of the same narratives and actually said the offense was being built around him this time of year, mm-hmm. which ended up being a complete lie. Mr. Laviska Shenault.
Right.
That was when Urban was there, for the record, but they said their offense was going to be built around Laviska, and that worked out pretty poorly.
Yeah, woof.
Yep.
Woof. All right, so 805, there's a guy that I absolutely love this year. If he's there, I'm pressing the button.
Who you got? I'm curious.
Oh, it's Najee.
Okay. I was going to say that's – I was curious where you're at because you mentioned Jaylen Warren a couple of times. I love Najee Harris with this Arthur Smith offense, Russell Wilson. Same. Dude, it's – oh, you got him.
Got him. And I got him in round 8. Usually, last couple of times I've been doing it, he's been like back end of round 7. So
I was going to say, he's a guy, like, at your 7-8 spot, I wouldn't have hated Najee there. So to get him in the 8th round,
and
pretty good.
And he correlates with my Hollywood Brown in week 16 or 17 as well. So that's good.
What's your take on Zamir White this year? I see him sitting at the top of the
rankings. Yeah, I like Zamir White. He's my top running back left on my rankings, and then Mostert's next. So the only thing with Mostert is you already have a chain, and if you're going to go with the small running back approach, like if you get one injury to one of those other running backs, you're fucked.
My only thing with that is, like, I kind of feel like this is where I don't mind taking the Eric Vanek approach, because I feel like they're both standalone values. Like, give me all the points from the running back.
What I'm saying is just like...
Oh, to one of the other guys?
Yeah, one of your other guys gets hurt, and you're screwed for that 1 week, and you just take a zero, you know?
Got it.
I mean, it's just 1 week, so you can make up for it, so.
Yeah, I feel like if I get, Bowers went, can I get Swift? Dude, I really would love to have Swift right here.
Yeah, Swift, Mostert, Pollard I would take, too.
And Waldron's offense, man. I'm starting to get a little more bullish on Swift. I know you and I have had the experience of always watching him, you know, having injuries to his vagina, but we're hoping this year he stays healthy, man. Come on, Shaker. Don't auto Swift. Let's go.
There you go.
Swift makes it.
Swift falls to Adam there. I mean, right. At 8-11, you can't beat that. That's great value.
I'm kind of curious to see what happens here with these two.
Yeah, so this guy doesn't even have a running back yet. He has 6 receivers and a tight
Mostert.
End, so he took Mostert, and he took
and
Dak.
All right.
Because he had CD, so that makes sense.
I kind of like, you know who I kind of like here at receiver is Romeo Doubs, man.
Doubs, okay, yeah, that's
what
not
are your
bad
thoughts
one.
Here on these receivers left?
I would probably still go Sutton, but I could.
Sutton to me, I can't mess
and I
with
like
just because
Lockett
of,
too.
Do you like Lockett? Okay,
man,
I'm gonna stick to my guns here, because here's my thing with Sutton. Sutton especially when I look at his stats, and this is a guy that last year was kind of irrelevant. With 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, I do not see this offense giving, even with a big body receiver like him, I don't see the Bo Nix experience being a guy that can be double-digit touchdowns for Sutton. And then even then, he didn't have upside that really mattered all that much for this best ball type format. Now, Lockett, definitely totally separate conversation because he has that boom-bust potential where he could definitely win you some serious weeks. Right. Romeo Doubs, to me, the thing about him that's pretty interesting is if this offense is I was looking into snapshares a lot, and Romeo Doubs, when healthy, was always playing 80% of snaps on the outside. And with Jordan Love, like, I think looking a lot more competent, as long as he doesn't, I think they're going to pay him. They'll get that figured out. I feel like Romeo Dobbs actually is a pretty sneaky value in best ball.
Right. So it went after Adam picked, it went, Jaden Daniels, Tajay Spears, Brian Robinson, Jordan Love, Cortland Sutton, and I took Brock Purdy. I wanted to make sure I got Purdy there.
Good pick with Purdy, for sure. And I'm not even the biggest Purdy guy, but
no, I mean, I'm just doing down. Yeah, I'm just doing it here to mix with my guys here, so.
For sure.
And then Lockett and Shakir went after I picked. Oh, so I have a couple of different options here. I think I can wait on Goff another round, so I probably can afford to miss him. I have four receivers and three running backs. A couple of receivers here I do like. I'm probably looking receiver here. All the running backs here are kind of just the same to me, so. Let's see. Pollard went, Trey Benson went, and Joku went. And Joku at 10-01 is a steal. Holy shit.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great pick.
Njoku, to me, the crazy part about him is, like, the range of outcomes are so wide where I feel like he still has more to gain. But one of the things that I was going back and looking at was, like, a lot of his value really was great when it was not Watson. I also think that, like, Watson should be better than most of the times that we had P.J. Walker and Dorian Thompson-Robinson out there. But he was amazing with Flacco, so I'm kind of curious to see what his upside is going to be week in and week out with Watson. I went through at South Harmon, we got the spike week, consistency week chart. So Tyler Lockett and Romeo Dobbs actually evened out last year. Three above average weeks apiece for those two guys. So
okay, nice.
I think each one of them has more upside than they did last year. Obviously, Lockett getting older and what JSN becomes is the only thing with him. But you could, I mean, I could make the case that Lockett ends up being better this year.
Yeah, I could see that. So it came back to me. I ended up taking Dontavian Wicks, and a lot of people are hyping him up. I just don't want to miss out on it. So I'm like, fuck it. I'll take a share here. Hopefully it works out for me.
I mean, first of all, we're in the 10th round now, so there's not a lot. There's not a lot of players, though, that are, like, you know, set it and forget it types. You're taking your swings here, you know?
Yeah, you want to shoot for upside here, so that's what I'm doing.
Absolutely. I'm here, man, I tell you what.
Up here. You have four running backs, three receivers, one quarterback, one tight end.
Dang, Jakobi Meyers, that just sniped the fucking piss out of me.
Your boy sitting there, Adane.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take Adonai Mitchell, honestly. Speaking of a lot of hype, he's supposedly thriving, at least he was at OTAs. We'll see.
See how it comes in training camp.
Yeah, one of the things that was interesting about when I was looking through the Colts last year, Alec Pierce played on, like, all these snaps. Now, he's a guy they relied on to run block, but he was just used so sparingly with Minshew. I feel like if Adonai can take over a pretty healthy amount of snaps, he gives more upside than a guy like Alec Pierce did.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right. Now,
yeah, you're up next again. You can kind of probably go anywhere.
Would you take a – I mean, like, listen, I honestly feel like I know I have Kyler, but would you take Caleb Williams as your QB2 here and be done?
Yeah, or you can go with Tua because you have the Miami guy with a chain.
Oh, yeah.
So you could go either.
I think I'm going to take a swing. I don't hardly ever get Caleb because I feel like he's a guy that you basically have to draft as your quarterback one typically, and I don't really feel confident doing that in best ball. Getting him that far down feels pretty reasonable,
like,
for me. 11-02.
You could probably, like, all of his receivers are gone, but you could probably maybe get Kmet next time.
I was actually just thinking I can get Kmet probably to add to McBride here. I'll have the double quarterback tight end stack. I like that.
Yeah.
And then
that's
definitely
one.
I'm trying to see now what I need to do is start really starring up some receivers to add to. I got four that I don't feel bad about. I got Evans, Nuke, Romeo Dobbs, and Adonai Mitchell, but I definitely want to build out my receiver room before we're done with this draft.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm coming up here in two more picks. Jared Goff is sneaking up towards the top of the list here, so I am just going to take my Jared Goff here if he lasts and be done at the quarterback spot.
There you go.
And that way I have Purdy with Debo, Laporta with Goff. I have both of those teams in Week 17. If one of those stacks goes off in Week 17, I got a good shot.
There you go.
And then Josh Downs went before me, so I'm able to get Jared Goff.
Man, Eric's out here telling the world live what he's wanting, and it just keeps falling into his lap, man, every time.
I wish it worked like that all the time, but
I don't think you've gotten sniped yet, which is it almost always happens. It feels like at least a handful of times.
I wish I could do that with women. Be like, I like that one, and then have them fall right into my lap.
Right into your lap, yeah. if anyone could do that, they'd be like what they call Zamir White Zeus. They'd be God.
They'd be Mike Crystal. Yep, I get it.
Michael Crystal, yeah. Iowa Michael. Gabe Davis, I knew he wasn't going to make it to me, but I still, in best ball formats later on, don't mind him. There's a receiver that I strongly doubt makes it to me, but I'm looking here and kind of licking my chops. What are you looking at here in a couple picks?
Probably add to my wide receiver room again. Marshawn Lloyd and Rico Dowdle just went.
Yep.
I mean, there is Jerome Ford is sitting out there. That makes a ton of sense for me too.
Dude, I was going to.
I like Jalen Polk.
How is he still sitting out there?
Pearsall to go with my Purdy and Debo.
Why do people do? And why Chubb went a decent amount ahead of Ford here?
Yeah, he went like the last round before. So
Ford just Ford, went in front of you.
Yeah, he auto picked. So yeah, the running backs are kind of dead there. Receivers. I think I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to keep my stack. I'm going to go with Ricky Pearsall here to go with Brock and Debo.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I mean, while on the pup, I like it. And the stacks, I mean, if anything was – we've seen Debo injured. We've seen Kittle injured. Ayuk, not as much, but like you're telling me that I think in this offense that's so consolidated with the targets, if Pearsall was to step in weeks where those guys, any of those guys were out, he could be a guy that gets a lot of work.
Exactly. Yep. So Freiermuth went right after me. So it's coming back to you here. You're up in four more picks, and then you.
Man.
Who are you eyeing up here?
Well, Leggett's the guy that I really would like to grab, Leggett, to be honest. Okay. I also have queued up Thielen and Pop Douglas. But we'll see who makes it to me.
Yeah, I think Leggett would make sense because he plays against Mike Evans in Week 17.
Week 17.
So that'll give you some correlation there.
Yep. I'm looking at who does New England play in Week 17?
New England plays where are they on this list? Patriots. Why am I not seeing the Patriots? Oh, Chargers. They play Chargers.
I don't think I have any Chargers. Okay.
Oh,
so man, Leggett actually made it to me here.
Nice. There you go.
Wow.
So, yeah, Freiermuth went, Schultz went, Jahan Dotson went, Jalen Polk, Mooney, and Leggett.
All right, so then Ty Chandler comes off. We'll see. Can I get Pop Douglas here too?
Hey, there you go.
I don't really want to grab Thielen and Leggett, though. Like, that's the other combo. Right. I wouldn't really love that, but I don't know. Okay.
Tyler Allgeier.
Wow. There we go, man. Pop Douglas.
Let's there you go. It's a good one.
I'm cooler on Jermaine Burton, I think, than a lot of people, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've taken some shots at him, but I've liked the stuff that I've read and heard about him. You know, he's practicing with Hushmanzada and learning like the slot tree and playing in the slot. So
yeah,
I'm not like opposed to him, but I'm not like drafting him in every single draft.
Right. I just feel like I guess my hesitation is that like. I don't know, a guy like Pop who actually looked pretty good at times last year, Jermaine Burton, it feels like, is a sexier pick of we don't know than a guy that could be performing really well in the same type of role.
Yeah.
All right, so then we got for you coming up two more picks. So after Pop Douglas went Kendre Miller, Luke Musgrave, and then TJ Hockenson went at the 13:05.
Yep.
As it gets late like that, would you take a swing on Hock, even though he's not going to be healthy probably for a lot of the early part of the year?
Yeah, I'd be willing to, especially in these deep best ball leagues. And said, and O'Connell came out yesterday and said he's ahead of schedule, so that's always good. Rashad Bateman just went. He's been getting a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Stafford just went, so now I'm up. I'm going to take Jaleel McLaughlin.
Good.
I think he's going to have a bigger role this year, obviously, that everyone's talking about. So 1308, I'll take a shot.
That backfield feels so like there's a lot of news around a lot of people. It feels pretty ambiguous, but it has not been good news at all for Javonte Williams. Like, I've heard basically almost no news that's in the report of Javonte.
The main news is that, you know, a lot of people are saying Javonte and him are vying, or Javonte and Perine are vying for the last spot.
Right. Yeah, could you, dude, imagine if Williams got cut? Oh, my goodness. That'd be crazy.
It's, I don't know if he just doesn't fit the style for Sean Payton, or is he, did that knee injury really just completely fuck all of his athleticism that he did have?
He doesn't have that same explosion. Jalen Wright was going to be somebody, I don't think was going to make it to me, but I would have considered adding in my running back room.
Right.
For a guy like him. Because one of the things with talking about that spike week, consistency week chart, Eric. So last year, there was a total of, I believe it was 8 running backs. Let me just, before I put this out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we had 8 running backs last year that gave 4 spike weeks or more. 2 of which were Mostert and Achane, and both of which missed time last year. So, Jalen Wright in best ball later on, I feel like it's actually a pretty solid pick, just because even if he's not doing anything for a lot of weeks, any injury to either one of those guys, and he could be, with his type of track speed, could be really viable for, if he gave you 2 pop weeks even, like 2 really true spike weeks where he's top 5 running back, that's massive this late.
Yeah. I'm going to take this guy if he's here. I'm up next pick. I don't think this guy's going to go here because he has 2 tight ends, but Cole Kmet, ADP.
All right. Well, I won't get him because I was hoping to get him to stack with Kayla, but you are going to grab him right here.
His ADP is 142. I'm getting him at pick 161. I'm almost getting 20 pick value there on Cole Kmet. That's an easy pick for
me. It feels like really hate Cole Kmet. I mean, I kind of get it, right? He's a guy that's got a lot of touchdowns and big plays, and now there's a ton more target competition. But, dude, I mean, he's this guy, I think, still that could end up being a big red zone presence for Caleb Williams, too. J.K. Dobbins, your boy, just went off.
Yep. No thanks.
Thielen. All right, so I'm 2 picks away. I'll tell you one. I won't be able to say no, Eric, if my guy Noah Fant's still sitting here. Where are you at with Noah Fant this year? Are you buying in or no?
Oh, yeah. Me and you are leading the fucking train.
Let's go, buddy.
We're shoveling the coal in. We're fucking hyping it up, blowing the horn and everything.
All right. I love to hear it. I got 1 pick until my pick, and Henry went, so I do get Noah Fant, man. I'll tell you one thing. I'd be okay if I had, like, especially where he's going, I'd be okay if I had, like, 100% rostership of Noah Fant in the 14th.
Yeah, I mean, you
round.
Could get Geno as your backup, too. That's a nice backdoor stack.
Yep.
And didn't you get a Seahawk receiver, too, or no?
I was looking at, you know what, I was looking. If I would have known this, I would have been great to get Tyler Lockett and then get Geno.
Oh, Lockett, that's right.
Okay. But I ended up taking, instead of Lockett, I took Romeo Doubs. Dang.
Right. Well, that
hindsight 2020, though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I would have taken Lockett if I would have known I was going to grab Geno. All right, so what am I going to do here is the question. Would you take a guy like DeMarcus Robinson, or would you take,
take Michael Wilson to go with your Kyler.
You know what? I hate Michael Wilson, but that's actually not a bad call.
Yeah, I think I would do that.
All right, we'll grab that.
So here's some breaking news. Kendre Miller already hurt at Saints training camp.
Man, are you sure it's not? That's got to be last year.
Nope, that's this year again. And quote from Dennis Allen, the head coach, that's a player who needs to figure out how to stay healthy because you can't make the team in the training room. So Kendre Miller needs to get his ass together.
Man, I remember being excited for Kendre last year, too.
That was my guy, so yeah. I've eaten a lot of shit on that one.
Where are you at with Quentin Johnson this year?
I'm done. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm out. I wonder how long his fall will be here.
Yeah, it'll be past me, that's for sure.
Well, because he's already he's a ADP of 155, and now he's we're coming up on pick 175. So I'm kind of curious to see how the free fall goes here.
Yeah, I'm up next here. So Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson, Cade Otton went. I'm only taking running backs and receivers the rest of the draft, and we're at pick 15. DeMarcus Robinson went in front of me. I'm going to take another guy who's getting a lot of hype right now. He has been all summer, and that'll probably maybe one more running back, but Tyrone Tracy I'm going to take here from the Giants.
Man, I didn't know you had him queued up. That was going to be someone that I was considering next pick.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these running backs that are left are all the same. It's just a lottery ticket, kind of, see what happens. So I'll get the guy who's getting some buzz the coaches really like already.
Sure.
Absolutely. And he's only got Devin Singletary in front of him. It's not like he's got fucking Barry Sanders in front of him.
Yep. All right, so Will Levis comes off the board.
Yeah, are you considering Geno here?
I mean, if Geno makes it to me, this part, like, I think I would be, yes. Kind of finish my quarterback room out, grab Geno, and then be done. Wow, I kind of imagine he won't make it to me. Wow, estimate 16.
Yeah, I usually get estimate in the last round, so he really went up. Russell Wilson, he usually doesn't get drafted sometimes.
I kind of like Russ this year, to be honest with you.
I for where he goes in these drafts, I love him.
Arthur Smith, people really forget how he revitalized Ryan Tannehill's career. You tell me that, you know, that Russell Wilson still, even right now, isn't a doesn't have more than Tannehill. I feel like the offensive scheme and everything they're going to do, play action, run the ball, just makes a lot of sense for how Russ has been able to play as a quarterback,
right,
too.
So it came back to me here, likely Khalil Herbert, and then I took Marvin Mims Jr. I'll take a shot on him.
Okay.
Gives me a receiver with a different bye compared to everybody else, too. So.
All right.
Braylon Allen went.
I'm looking just to see if there's any running backs really left worth. I'd be okay if I left with four. I don't mind even throwing a fifth in here if it makes sense, but
right.
I don't actually – right now I'm just looking, man. I'm curious if you see just with the available running backs.
Oh, Geno went.
I had a feeling he wouldn't make it to me, damn it. Are there any running backs do you think here that are worth taking a shot on? Not necessarily this pick, just in general left.
I still like Foreman, Deontay Foreman for the Browns.
Yeah. What about Pierce?
You can definitely take him. I mean, they just picked up Akers. That doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence in Pierce. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Daniel Jones went.
I'm looking here. I don't really
you
love
could
much.
Get Bryce Young as your backup because that gives you the final game. And but is that the same bye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Oh, you have Caleb already, so you don't really need one.
Would you take what about Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, Tyler Boyd wouldn't be a bad one. I mean, you have Hopkins already, but it's not a bad player.
I'm just looking. I feel like I'm comfortable now. I believe that was my seventh receiver, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That was my eighth receiver, actually.
Eighth receiver, okay.
So I'm gonna be done with receiver now. I think got two picks left. So Shipley and McCaffrey went here.
Yeah.
So I think with this build I'm better off with three tight ends and leaving the two quarterbacks. What do you think here? Or do you get both?
I picked the wrong guy. I mean, I think you're okay at tight end. I'd probably grab... Yeah, I mean, you could grab another tight end, I guess.
Or would you grab a QB?
Probably the tight end.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I'm gonna actually go ahead and take a Pierce here. Did I get it? Oh, it gave me the
But that's
auto.
Actually a good thing because you got Mike Evans.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about that. Good call.
So that worked out for you. And then the guy after you took Bryce Young, so he is probably looking at it.
Yep. All right. So right now my team is Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, Baker Mayfield, Christian McCaffrey, A-Chain, Jacob Swift. Got eight receivers, Evans, Hopkins, Dobbs, Mitchell, Leggett, Pop Douglas, Michael Wilson, Tyler Boyd, and then I got two tight ends of McBride and Noah Fant. So I don't mind this team at all.
Yeah, I'm at 2572 on my build right here with two picks left, and I'm coming up on them right now.
What are you looking to do here with the 2572?
I mean, I'm good at tight end. I think I'm good at quarterback. I'm thinking one more receiver and one more running back. Give me six running backs and eight receivers. That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. It's the running back is difficult because they're all just like none of them are like
their hopes and prayers.
Yeah, none of them are guaranteed time. The receivers, I can kind of take anyone here. I feel good about Jalen McMillan, and he's the top guy on the board, so I'll go ahead and I'll take Jalen McMillan, one of my favorite rookie receivers this year. And then running backs, I mean, I don't have much generic Prince. I could take a shot at him here. I don't know. I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still sitting there, too. I could just avoid the whole situation. I could take a Keaton Mitchell. Hopefully he comes back and does something at the end of the year.
I do have him starred. It's the injury definitely scary, given his style of play, too, like a really shifty athletic player. But, I mean, later in the year, he could give you some value.
Yeah, and that's kind of all I'm needing him for is later on in the year.
You know, on that same note, though, What are your thoughts on Rasheen Ali?
There he goes. Not great. Okay. I've kind of seen that he needs to like find a role on special teams, so not loving it.
Okay.
So I think I'm gonna go ahead. I'm like, I don't love Madison. Bigsby scares me. All these other guys, I just don't know. I feel confident at least in Trey Sermon that he's gonna be on the field. Like to give Jonathan Taylor some breathers and be the RB2 there for Indy. So yeah. I'm going to go Trey Sermon.
You know, if I didn't have CMC, I think I would take Guarendo.
Yeah, you could.
But I do have CMC, and I feel like that's kind of just like.
The one running back that's left that does intrigue me a little bit is P. Ryan. If he does get cut, like he's going to find a role somewhere else.
I just feel like P. Ryan has been so. Meaningless with his works.
He had 50 catches last year. He was third in the league among running backs last year in catches.
I know, but in this format, like,
yeah, well, I get it.
He just, I don't know. I just don't see upside with him. Like, I would rather swing this late.
But who else here is going to get you 50 catches? There isn't anybody.
Well, I'll tell you this. I bet you. I wish I could screen. I mean, you know what? I can screenshot this. I'm going to screenshot this. I bet you somebody here. On this list, significantly outscores P. Ryan.
Oh, that wouldn't shock me.
Like,
and it's going to take an injury. The problem is something.
Exactly. The problem is we have no idea how to project it because there's injury. It's going to come at injuries. Going to be what makes that happen. I'm on the clock here. Who do you like left?
Among running backs or just all together?
All players, but probably running back in particular. I hate all of them.
I mean, Javon Baker, a lot of people have liked. Zay Jones would go with your Kyler Murray. You could take the shot on J.J. McCarthy or a Sam Darnold.
I'm gonna hold those for my next pick. Actually, I'm done, aren't I?
That was your last pick.
Because
so Madison.
I already had three quarterbacks. I don't love any of these. Dude, I'll be honest. I hate all these tight ends. Tucker Kraft was one I was looking at, but I just wanted one more body at running back, even though it probably doesn't matter because Madison probably isn't worth anything.
Right, yeah.
What was I'm kind of curious to see what your team looks like in finish. I loved a lot of your picks.
So I'm going to pull it up here, find good old Best Ball Mania 5. All right, so my final team ended up being quarterbacks Brock Purdy and Jared Goff. My running back room is Breece Hall, Ken Walker, Najee Harris, Jaleel McLaughlin, Tyrone Tracy, and Trey Sermon. Wide receivers of Debo Samuel, Amari Cooper, Hollywood Brown, Jordan Addison, Dontavian Wicks, Ricky Pearsall, Marvin Mims Jr., and Jalen McMillan, and tight ends of Sam Laporta and Cole Kmet.
I like your team. I like I'm looking here too. You don't have really a whole lot of bye weeks that are colliding between a lot of these players. So you did a lot of that. And I think you have like between Breece, Kenneth Walker, and Ajay in this format, I like all three of those running backs a lot.
Yep.
I feel like, I mean, I don't know what it is. I feel like getting Jordan Addison as your wide receiver 4 on this team was something that shouldn't really have happened, personally.
And then the tremendous value I got on Kmet that caused me to only have to be able to draft 2 tight ends.
Yep, for sure.
That was nice.
Yeah, especially having Cole Kmet as your tight end, too, when you have a Laporta is also really nice, too.
Right, yeah. And then your team, you have Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, and Baker Mayfield. Christian McCaffrey, Devin Achane, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, and Alex Mattison are your running backs. Wide receivers, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Romeo Doubs, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Legette, Demario Douglas, Michael Wilson, Tyler Boyd, Trey McBride, and Noah Fant at the tight end spots.
Yep. I like my team. I don't necessarily love it. Like, I definitely, the wide receiver room is, this is probably about as thin as I've drafted a receiver room, to be honest with you. But yeah. I feel like in best ball with the depth that I drafted, I could end up being okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got three pretty good quarterbacks. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Baker ends up being your starter a couple weeks, you know, especially like when him and Evans go crazy.
Having that stack was nice.
Yeah. You got McCaffrey. Like him and Achane could just carry you week to week just by themselves.
Dude, yeah, that'd be if they both stay healthy. Like I'll just say this: if they both stay healthy, I think this team could end up having a chance.
Yeah,
in absolutely. A tournament like this.
Yeah, and then you have Evans and Hopkins; those are two steady receivers. Yeah, after those two receivers, your receiver room is thin. You're just kind of hoping for more weeks. I think if you had a do over. Obviously it got auto picked to you, but instead of Mayfield, probably another receiver.
Yeah.
Yep. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty solid.
Yep. Yeah. So I mean, like I said, the receiver room, I agree with you that starting at wide receiver three, Romeo Doubs, Adonai Mitchell, Legette. I mean, I'm definitely going to need one of Mitchell and Legette at some point to kind of, solidify themselves with a role this year. We'll see if either one of those guys can do that. That unfortunately, this team probably is going to need one of those guys to become like somewhat reliable.
Yeah, I think my team's pretty balanced, so I'm happy with that. I did follow the correlation pretty good. You know, Lions and 49ers are the big game there for me in week 17. I have Purdy, Goff, I have Debo, I have Pearsall, and I have Laporta for that game. So if that game pops off, I got a pretty good shot there. I have a couple other correlations like Najee and Hollywood Brown in week 17. That's a game. Vikings and Packers play, so I have Wicks and Addison, so that's another one.
Yeah.
So I have a couple there that correlation-wise that I like.
Love it, man. Love it.
Yeah. So that is it. That's our best ball Mania 5 draft.
We'll see. If any one of us wins the best ball mania or even hits one of these high prizes, even if it's not me, I ain't gonna care, man. This would be freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, this is always fun. If one of us can hit that, man, that's gonna be
you imagine if one of us, any one of the South Harmon people or a guest hit one that we was drafted on a live show, it would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be incredible. I would absolutely love
what
it.
That would be the goated episode, no matter what.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's going to take a miracle. I mean, you're going to have to literally have all 18 of your guys, you know, perform for you.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, you can't have – you're going to need everything to go right. I'm looking here, though. The other crazy part is just the prize money for this in general, right? So if you're inside the top 20 – you're walking away with $100,000.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Absolutely. You take any of these, man. I mean, well, just look at it this way too. There are 2,156 people that will 10x their money. So
I mean, that $100,000, man, that's just a night at the club for fucking Mike.
Yeah, that'll be next year's expo, you know? 2025 expo will be lit. That's all that'll be.
Holy shit. Yeah, that would be great, man. But no, that was fun, man. Thank you for doing that with me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you having me on. This was fun. When you messaged me, I was like, yeah, it's going to be – might be a little tight getting it in with the new baby girl here, but we made it work, and I'm glad it did, man. This was fun.
Yeah, for sure. We'll play America's Favorite Game.
I was gonna say, don't try to cheat me now on America's Favorite Game before we get out of here.
No, so all right. So I went to the movies yesterday. I went and saw the new Twisters movie.
Okay,
that was pretty. It was pretty good. Wasn't as good as the original, but it was still pretty solid. I liked it.
I remember watching the old one back in the day.
I think I don't remember if I saw it in the theaters or not when I was a kid. I don't remember, but you know, I've seen that movie multiple times, so it's a really good movie. I think this one, so this one was, you know, a lot more CGI. Obviously, it's all CGI, but you could kind of tell more, you know what I mean?
Could you? Okay.
But with that, and then obviously this Friday, I believe, yeah, this Friday, Deadpool comes out. Deadpool and Wolverine.
Really?
So okay. We have that. The only Marvel movie of the year coming out this week. So okay. That's big for the Marvel whole universe there. So my question to you is, what is your what's your favorite Marvel movie?
I mean, so when I was a kid growing up playing basketball, they called me Spider-Man because I was so skinny and I had super long arms.
Okay.
So I've always been partial. Now is Spider-Man Marvel?
Yeah. I mean, it's Sony and Marvel, but it's you know, a lot of the Tom Holland stuff has been Marvel. Yeah.
That's, I mean, I figured, I felt like I was, I don't know. Sometimes the technicality of it, some people don't want to call it that.
Right.
But I'm of the mindset
that we're counting it. Yeah, we're counting it.
All right. Yeah, Spider-Man. At least the newer ones. Spider-Man for me, and yeah, it's kind of crazy now. They've had so many of the newer ones, like the Tobey Maguire one. That's not. I'm not even saying that's my favorite one. It feels like eternity ago. The Tobey Maguire one now. You know.
Yeah. It was so long ago that. So just not a funny story, but a story. I bought. God, this is so back in the day. I bought all of the Sopranos seasons on DVD on like eBay, however long ago that was. So they accidentally sent me something else instead of the Sopranos on accident, and it happened to be like the second Spider-Man movie when it had just like released on DVD. So I got that for free. So that's just a funny little. So that's how long ago it was, is when the Sopranos seasons were still going on. So that's like 2002, 2004.
Yeah, well, I'm actually looking. I just pulled it up right now. I kind of was, as you're talking about it, I'm curious. Yeah, so Spider-Man 2, 2004, which makes it 20 years ago, brother. That's wild. Yeah. Time flies, man.
So do you have a favorite of the Spider-Man movies?
Man, that is tough, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Do you? I'm looking just to see, make sure I don't miss one. I don't know. I kind of, it's not, I don't know that it's my favorite. I did, if you're going to use Maguire's, I liked it better when in 07 when they had the like black version.
Okay, yeah.
But, I don't know. The Far From Home probably still for me. The one, I think it was 2019.
Is that with the three Spider-Man where they all came back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think that was during COVID I think. Or the first movie out of COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was like 2021.
That was that'd be
2020.
That would be my favorite, I think.
Okay. Them. Yeah, that's probably where mine would be too if I had to pick a Spider-Man movie. Yeah. I also like the Into the Spider-Verse with the animated ones.
Yeah, that was like 2017 or 18 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And then they came out with the second one in 2022, I believe it was. And both of those were really good movies.
Yeah.
The Miles Morales Spider-Man. Those are really, really good movies too. So
yeah. Yeah, the No Way Home one, that was my favorite. Yeah. The three.
Okay.
Yep.
My favorites, man, I got so many.
Marvel's tough though, because there's a lot of good ones for me. Like I like a lot of the Marvel movies.
Yeah, if I had to like a non-Avengers one with like everybody in it, which is kind of cheating.
I was gonna say if you put one that spite like. I could do that with Avengers. I just
if I
that.
Yeah, if I pick like a single one, I would probably say Captain America Winter Soldier. I liked. I think that was the second one.
I was gonna say I was kind of curious to see what you pick because the Captain America America's Game, like the shield and all that too, works out.
Yes. Yeah, that one, if I had to pick, like, through all the movies, though, it's probably Endgame or Infinity War. Probably Endgame, because that was just an epic conclusion to all
Endgame
of that.
Endgame was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely was. So that's another funny thing, is, like, I really never watched any Marvel movies up until, like, Endgame was coming out. So I binge watched every single Avengers movie like the month before Endgame came out. So it took I'd watched like Captain America's and stuff, but I never watched Iron Man. I never watched the Hulk movie. I never watched any of the Thor movies, anything like that. I never watched any of that until Endgame was coming out. And then I binge watched everything in order like the month before. So that was like really epic, man, to kind of go have all that so fresh in my mind, everything fresh in my mind, go into Endgame and just kind of see that epic conclusion. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hard to argue with that.
Hell yeah. So, all right, man. Well, that is going to be it for this 1 year anniversary show, man.
Episode 52. You talk about time flying by. That's.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man. I mean, I know, between you doing them, listening to them, uploading them. Like, I've been counting the episode. I don't know. For whatever reason, it hadn't hit me until it was number 52. Like, damn, that's a year just flew by, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Right when training camp started last year is kind of when started here with South Harmon, and things are only growing. You got Maddie and Cody aboard now. And
yeah, man. It's things are only it's crazy how much can change in a year, you know?
But, yeah.
Everything is continuing to go on the up and up here at South Harmon, and America's game is thriving, man. It's just absolutely. Like the epic conclusion.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody. If you've been listening for that whole year, I appreciate you guys very, very much. Always good to have the support of the community and everybody. So I appreciate everybody who's tuned in. If you've tuned in for all 52 episodes, I appreciate it. Been pretty good so far. So only going to get better from here on out. Got another football season right around the corner. A lot of good stuff happening. Looking forward to our Sunday start sit shows. That's going to be fun again. Waiver wire shows. I like doing those as well, kind of helping everybody out with the waiver wire. So that'll be good again. And yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this year. Going to be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, nothing quite like when the NFL season is back, you know?
Yeah, yep, for sure. So that is going to be it, guys. At Eric Vanek NFL, at America's Game Pod, at South Harmon FF on YouTube and Twitter. Follow us there. Adam's at ATM4DChess. Follow him there. All his BDGE stuff as well. So much good stuff going on. So appreciate you having you on again, Adam.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. So until next time, we'll see you guys next week for episode 53.